It's Choose Your Fate at 4 on Cofield and Company.
The people have spoken. Their fate has been chosen. We're going to get to this because in real life, watching something like this would be incredible. And we're talking about a 64 one-on-one NBA bracket. Players going mano-a-mano all the way up to the finals, of course. Winner take all. We'll get to that. Because in second place today, which I was kind of hoping was going to win, I just put Justin Verlander as the worst. Verlander's becoming more and more unlikable, right? Like, I'm not sure if he was, like, rally behind the guy and become a big fan, but I never really disliked him. Like, he's always just been a really good pitcher that I've enjoyed watching, and I've never had one feeling toward him or another. And then this whole thing started going down with the cheating, and he had that, like, defiant meetup with the media in the locker room, and he was very, very bristly about the entire thing, even though he cheated. And then you start to get the reports that, oh, remember how we were writing all those cool articles about the Astros pitching staff and the coaching they were going through and how Gerrit Cole's spin rate just skyrocketed once he got to Houston? Yeah, probably pine tar or something else. Remember how Justin Verlander just made that massive turnaround when he went to Houston? Yeah, probably another substance. So he's become more unlikable to me as time has gone on here in the last, I'd say, 6 months or so. And I think he hit his peak for me today. The New York Times came out with a post that they aggregated from his Instagram. He made Kate Upton and his family watch his no-hitter, like every pitch from a few years ago, as part of their quarantine life. Like, he made them relive his glory days, and it's a picture of him sitting on the couch and they're rewatching his no-hitter.
If I were Kate Upton, like an hour into this, when I first asked, like, okay, like I remember, I watched it. I would walk into the kitchen, I'd grab the trash can, I'd bring it back into the room, I would grab a wooden spoon and just bang on that thing for the last 2 hours of the no-hitter, just over and over and over again. You want to watch? Here's what I'm doing while we watch. Whack, 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 over and over again. There's no way I'm letting him do this undisturbed. A monster.
It was his 2007 no-hitter, which was currently at the time streaming on MLB, so he decided to make his family watch it.
Streaming?
Yeah.
As in available at all times?
Yeah.
As in we didn't have to sit down right now and watch your no-hitter.
Let's celebrate opening day by sitting here and watching how great I used to be.
Let's celebrate opening day by remembering when I was doing it all by myself. Didn't have help from magic pitching coaches, magic beans, magic trash cans,
right,
magic teammates.
So this made me think. You mentioned you have a lady friend. I have a wife. What would you make? Like, what's the peak of your career, of your life, that you would make your lady friend sit through and watch?
I cannot believe, like, you're asking me this question.
What's your 2007
right
opening day?
Dude, no, you can't be asking me this question right here and now. It happened 5 days ago. She had to sit through 2.5 hours of me on ESPN The Ocho. She sat through the whole thing.
Really?
Sunday night.
Oh, weren't you calling something? Where were you?
Dude! Thank you for following my social media so closely. I can't believe it. I'm so offended right now. 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. on Sunday evening, calling Moxie Games 3 and Dodge Juggle 3, Revenge of the Dodgeballs, on ESPN The Ocho. All the way, straight through.
Really?
She watched dodgeball jugglers. Like, guys who are juggling, dodgeball players firing balls at them, trying to knock them down. She watched guys playing Hedis. Are you familiar with Hedis?
I would assume it's head tennis. The one where they're doing this on the small...
Head ping pong with a mini four square ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beer vampire against Sniper Shorsh.
Ooh, is four square a thing? I killed four square back in the day, man.
Yeah, man.
Like, four square's
still a thing.
It's got to be like, right? It's got to be like a big professional thing, I would think.
You would think that there would be an opportunity there. I remember when I was a substitute teacher a few years back, like, four square was serious business. I had to break up recess fights over four square.
Yeah.
Serious.
All right. So you already experienced it.
All right. So what's yours?
I don't really have like a really massive, glorious moment in like my life that I would want people to rewatch or re-listen to. I guess like a killer string of jokes on either Cofield and Company or over on VSiN. right? Like, I don't know if they're, or maybe, you know, I'll pat myself on the back for one thing. I'm pretty good with like the NBA content. So do I make her rewrite some of my game write-ups or reread, I said,
write-ups? No, you beat me to it. I was going to say she's going to have to recite hardwoodhandicappers.com.
Yeah.
Right? She's going to have to go through and just
rest in peace.
Read straight through, right? She's going to have to read it out loud. Your child is going to have to listen to this. Like, everybody's going to sit there. You're going to have, it has to be something like a Crown Royal or brandy or something like that in your hand. And you're going to sit there with a tiny little cup sipping it and just going, that was a really good call.
I was pretty hard in the corner of the Toronto Raptors last year. So maybe I just put together a montage of me saying how awesome the Raptors were. And we just watched it for like 6 hours.
How long do you think she would actually sit there stormed out of the room?
There's no way. There's no way she sat there for the whole thing.
I'm just saying, like, of that 6 hours, give me a time. Give me a total.
Like, my wife sitting through what I would put together?
Yeah, over under 35 minutes.
Oh, like 10? Yeah. She doesn't even watch now. Like, she doesn't even watch what I do, like, on a day-to-day basis. She has no idea.
I always kind of went through this, friends of the opposite sex where I'm like, you know, you have to listen to me all the time anyway, right? Like, you have to deal with this when I'm not, you know, attention-seeking the way I am when I'm, you know, in front of a microphone. Like, that's got to be the worst version of me. Like, the one that is just looking for someone to lavish praise on them. You get that at home. You don't need to sit there and watch it.
So that was second place on Choose Your Fate of Four. The winner, by far.
Let's do this.
NBA King of the Hill 1-on-1 tournament. Action Network put this together?
This is from Matt Moore at Action Network.
Okay. I was going to say something. Shaky Twitter follow.
It goes up and down.
It really does. Some of you got to learn how to not tweet so much. Anyway, so 64 teams, 64 players, all playing 1-on-1, and of course meeting in the middle of the bracket. So your one seeds for this, Kawhi Leonard in the Kawhi region, LeBron James in the LeBron region, James Harden in the Harden region, and Giannis Antetokounmpo in the Giannis region. So those are your one seeds, and we can go through all the players, whatever. What were some of the highlights for you? Because you and we filled out brackets. Actually, let me start with this. What are your final four? What's your final four?
Okay, my final four goes 1-1-2-5.
Okay.
Okay, the ones. LeBron.
Right.
And you said you have chaos in the Giannis region. I've got Giannis.
Okay.
Okay. My two, Kevin Durant.
Okay.
I am going for a fully healthy, recovered Kevin Durant.
That's the question, because him, Steph, Clay, like a lot of these players have some injury question marks currently. I assumed full health.
I assume full health as well, and that's why Steph's in my final four.
Ooh, okay.
Because I'm just going to say this before you go into yours with your final four. If there are 16 better one-on-one NBA players than Steph Curry, I would like to see that. I would like to see that played out.
So my final four, I have two ones, a two, and a three. The chaos happened on the way. Kawhi and LeBron on the left side of the bracket. AD and Paul George on the right side of the bracket.
Yeah.
Now, it's a matchup thing for me. Like, this is, like, there were some key matchups that I had. Like, I actually had Jimmy and PG facing off in the Elite Eight. Jimmy Butler, I should say. Because I feel like a Jimmy-Steph matchup, Butler's got a little bit of an advantage. Because you're right, like, Curry, When he plays off the ball, it's where he creates a lot of his magic. And I feel like in a 1-on-1 spot, when you're taking on a 6'6 Jimmy Butler, you know, to 21 or whatever it is, it's a little bit tougher if you're Steph Curry to work your magic.
This is one of the I starred 10 matchups.
Okay.
10 different matchups that I think are worth looking at. And this is one of them because I played this out, and I think what we've forgotten because Steph plays off the ball so much right now is just how silly his handle can be.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't use it as much anymore. He doesn't have to because of the way that team's played. But his handle is pretty ridiculous. Now, I don't know how he's going to hold up defensively. So that's why I think I'm in kind of a pickle here, picking him to go that far. Because frankly, look at his first round matchup. That 5-12 against Lou Will is no guarantee.
You don't think so? I think Steph would destroy him.
I just think the shooting is dangerous with a guy like Lou Will.
It is, but I think he's so bad defensively, and Curry's very underrated defensively, that he would just wreck him.
All right, so there's your final four. What did you look at here? Let's talk about seeds and snubs. Like, I said that I think Steph is way too low. What jumped out at you in terms of the seeding here?
Well, I was surprised that Carmelo Anthony was in it, like, period.
At all.
Yeah, he's a 13, and the fact that he's a 13, Like, he should probably be a 16.
Like, he won the MEAC or something like that.
Yeah, like, I don't understand that. I did think that certain guys were overseeded. Like there's a 6-11 matchup between DeMar DeRozan and Kristaps Porzingis. I feel like that should be flipped. I feel like DeMar DeRozan's an 11 seed, and I feel like Kristaps Porzingis is more of a 6.
I have KP into the Sweet 16.
That's right. This is what's interesting. So Porzingis in the next round would match up with a Pascal Siakam, which I also didn't agree with. The way they set this up, like Pascal Siakam, Kyle Lowry is a first-round matchup. They're teammates. I don't know if you do that. And they also set it up so that, and this probably should play out, that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum met in the second round.
No.
In the round of 32. Because Jaylen Brown met up with one Trae Young in the first round, which is a massive matchup in itself. But again, Trae Young is the worst defender metrically. By far, he is the worst defender in the NBA. I don't think he would win a game. So I thought that initially what stuck out there, and also what really stuck out from a seeding perspective, again, I'm assuming full health. How is Klay Thompson a 10 seed?
Thank you very much.
How is Klay Thompson a 10 seed?
That's one that's got a star next to it. That is the only, as you can see, that is the star that is up here on my sheet. Again, if you're telling me Klay Thompson is a 10 seed, then you're telling me there are 36 better one-on-one NBA players than Klay Thompson. A guy who once scored 55 on 10 dribbles?
Yeah.
Stop it.
Right. Also, my biggest upset, Danilo Gallinari is a 14 over Ben Simmons in the first round.
You can look right at this sheet where it says Gallo.
That's right.
I posted mine on my Twitter. I want everybody to rip me apart. But yeah, I've got Gallo there. And frankly, I thought about Gallo against Ingram for a minute. But yeah, I've got Ingram. That Ingram AD matchup, just when we talk about the committee setting things up for maximum effect, the Ingram AD matchup is fun.
All right, can you tweet this bracket out? Because this is obviously you did? All right,
he pushed mine out there. He pushed mine out there from the ESPN account.
Up on Twitter, you can check out the bracket. You can fill it out for yourself. We were talking about the event out here in Las Vegas, potentially.
Oh, do this.
We would never see this. Oh. I would love an NBA one-on-one tournament.
You know what the other one is, man? I would love that tournament as well. That 1-5 in the Bron region.
Yeah.
I have such a hard time picking against Russ just because of how dirty I think he'll play. Like, Russ will do anything to win, right? Like, could you just see him going after LeBron's ankles right from the beginning here? I don't know, man. That was a hard one for me.
I could if he made it past Bradley Beal.
You think he would beat Beal? Really?
No, I don't think he would.
Oh.
I think Beal would beat Russell Westbrook is what I'm saying. I don't think Westbrook makes it past that matchup.
Ooh, okay.
Bradley Beal's so underrated, dude. He's such a good player.
Fair enough.
He's awesome. He's got a little bit of a feistiness to him that is underrated because he plays with Washington.
That's true. He's a guy that people don't get a chance to watch night to night. That's a good point.
But the other matchup, so I mentioned, so the second round matchup, you get Porzingis and Siakam potentially, Drew Holiday versus Kyrie Irving. This is all in the same bracket, by the way. And then one of the ones that you pointed out, which is going to be a lot of fun if it were to ever happen, Zion Williamson versus Karl Anthony Towns in the round of 32.
Round of 32. In the second round. How insane is that? Like, Zion basically gets a free roll in the first round, right? He gets, you know, Derrick Rose is not going to give him a problem. But then he would have to go through Big Cat and then Giannis.
Right.
Just to get to the Elite Eight. Unbelievable.
I could talk about this for forever.
Seriously, we could spend the whole hour on this easily.
All right, we have to get out of here, though. When we come back, we check in. Vegas Golden Knights. Darren Miller's going to join us. Host.
Wait, before we go, who's your winner?
Oh, Kawhi.
I got Freak.
AD eliminated him and made it to the championship game
in
my bracket.
I didn't see that happen.
I can. Giannis is a little overrated.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas. Now, back to Cofield and Company.
But I'm thinking, like, all the bills that are stacking up at my apartment. If you bought clothing before all of this happened, if you want to return it, or store is going to, you know, waive that 30-day period where you can get your money back if you need to return something. These are all the things. People are staying home. Women, I mean, y'all don't think about this, guys, but, in, you know, this is not a priority, but women have to get their hair done. You're going to see what color our real hair is because our roots are going to grow in, but they can't get their nails done.
I'm going to chill at the crib because I'm safe here. I ain't even about to drink me a Corona beer. I'm about to stay at the crib for about a year.
I saw the video for this. It's pretty good. The song's not great. The video's not bad, though. It's not bad. Jonathan Von Tobel, Adam Candy, we're filling in for Steve Cofield, who is out, I believe, drafting a fantasy baseball team. Darren Millard, nice enough to give us a couple minutes, host for the Vegas Golden Knights, all over those broadcasts. Darren, we appreciate some time. You know, I was going to open up asking you, what have you been doing, you know, with the downtime, but I was going through your Twitter feed. You're doing this VGK Fit Challenge? What are you doing? This is ridiculous.
It's something to keep yourself occupied and to stay in shape or get into shape, whatever. I was a little sore after the first couple of rounds, so I'm not going to lie to you. But it's fun. Gets the dogs going because they run around. The kids like to tape it, and it's the new world. It's been actually, and we're balancing that with a book club too.
Yep.
So I've got the polar opposites: active and fit, and then lying on the couch and reading.
That's right. The challenge that I saw last: 10 decline push-ups, 15 reverse lunges. Yeah. 15 leg lifts, 5 squat jumps. What's the upper body strength like? The decline push, I'm not the best guy in terms of shapeliness, but I've actually been in shape at one point in my life. I hate decline push-ups. Those are impossible.
I don't mind the push-ups. I don't mind the upper body stuff, and but by no means am I upper body impressive. But I've got what I call hockey hip, where I need one of those replacements from playing golf for a number of years. So anything to do with legs hurts me. So I tend to go with upper body, and even that is not impressive. So I wouldn't call this like going to the gym and you'd be able to walk down Hermosa Beach and be impressed, but this is something to make you feel like you're doing something and you're a little short of breath.
So let's talk about this from a serious aspect when it comes to the National Hockey League, and as we transition over to, of course, the effects of this pandemic on the sports world. So we got news, I think it was about 2 days ago now, the NHL draft, the NHL combine, the awards out here in Las Vegas, all postponed. These are things all the way out in June at this point. So I would think, I mean, the natural connection there is that this hockey season, if it does resume, Darren, is looking like at about mid-June at the very earliest, right?
Well, I don't know whether it begins mid-June at the earliest, but I think it's safe to say when you look at where we are now, having lost a couple of weeks and no real outlook for anything to happen in the next 5 to 10 days, that you're going to be a month behind, and those events all run towards the last couple of weeks of June, and the season's going to at least extend into that period. So it's just getting in front of things, not having to be answering the questions or being asked the question over and over. And when you talk about free agency in the draft, those things certainly are impacted by the end of the season. You can't have a season end and guys be consider free agents or that like. So I think it's just being proactive by the National Hockey League. I wouldn't read too much more into it than that, and I certainly wouldn't read anything into it as far as it pertains to the current season that we're hoping to finish.
Darren, whether you're a casual hockey fan or whether you're a diehard,
one are you?
Much more toward diehard, dude. I grew up a Devils fan in the '80s. You had to be truly into your team. To really to make it through those years of the Christmas tree jerseys.
The day they scored on Darren Pang to make the playoffs for the first time.
Can I tell you a story about that day? I actually broke my mother's nose that day. We were sitting there watching the game. When John McClain scored that goal, I threw my hands back in celebration and whacked her in the face. I felt so badly. Like, the celebration lasted like 5 seconds. Anyway, so there you go.
That's
yes.
Terrible.
I'm a horrible human being. I'm sorry we're finding this out, you know, in this setting right here. But so let's talk about the playoffs, though. For casual or diehard, it obviously, you know, it's about the cup playoffs in the end. And do you think that there is a need for any more regular season at this point? Or do you think we should just pick it up from the playoffs when we come back, assuming that the timeline for this is probably going to be about when we would be in the playoffs in the first place?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I'll preface it by this. There's at the initial pause, there's a lot of talk about buys and play-in games. So the upper seeded teams like the Golden Knights or the St. Louis Blues would get a first-round bye, and then you'd have a couple of teams that were just on the fringe, either by the present standings at the pause or the points percentage would have a playing game. My big concern there, and I talked to a coach about this, was the teams that have a play-in game or two would have a big advantage over the teams that haven't done played any games at all. Even if it's just two games, teams would have an advantage. So to answer your question, I would say I don't think you need any more regular season games. You can do it, but I also think that you might have to get creative with your playoff format. It may be you may have to look at something that's a non-traditional 16-win route to a Stanley Cup champion than we normally see with the four rounds of the best of seven. I mean, I've spent literally hours doing this by myself in my free time in coming up with different scenarios, and I keep coming back to a pool system where each division gets a pool playoff, and then you eliminate one team, but it's sort of a round robin to start, and then you go into your playoff format with maybe a best of five in the first round, and then best of seven. So I've done a lot of this, but I do think you have to be wary of giving anybody a bye just because the other teams will have such a significant advantage.
Darren Millard from the Vegas Golden Knights joins us here on Cofield and Company, John Von Tobel and Adam Candy. Darren, what do you think of the way the Golden Knights are constructed right now with what you're coming up with your own scenarios and what you see in other scenarios? How do you think that this roster would fare?
I think really well. I mean, I was really optimistic and impressed with the way they were playing. Now, there were certainly injuries in Stone and Pacioretty and Tuck for that Minnesota game. And you look at the last game that they were supposed to play. Those three players weren't going to play, and Chandler Stephenson was a game-time decision. So there was some concerns on the up front side of things. But, boy, they were going great. They went into Alberta, won those two games, swept Alberta for the first time, and that's in a situation where they were battling for first place. I think it was probably the best that the Golden Knights were situated, and that's with all due respect to the first year where I consider that Cinderella and so many things went right. But this is the best team playing its best hockey of the 3 years at the moment of the pause. So I was really looking forward to seeing how the final few games were going to sort themselves out in the final five games, so hoping to cement the division title and maybe make a run at a second seed in the Western Conference. It was really set up to be going well with the addition of Robin Leonard as well.
You know, speaking of Leonard, I kind of wanted to go to him because, you know, we're talking, and it's obviously very optimistic if we can get any of these seasons right underway that have been cut off, the NBA, the NHL, get the season started in Major League Baseball. Leonard was quoted as talking that he was pretty pessimistic about it happening, saying, quote, "I don't think it's possible to shut down and run again when you have 100,000 cases of the coronavirus." What do you think a cutoff date is for, like, hey, if we get to this point and we're the National Hockey League, we don't want to compromise our next season too much, let's just punt on this and let's move forward?
That's the million-dollar question, or in today's dollars, maybe the $100 million yeah. question or billion-dollar question, is what is that cutoff date, and who makes the move first? And I have no doubt that Adam Silver and Gary Bettman are in constant communication, because so one doesn't want to cancel the season, the other one goes forward, vice versa. To give you a date, I can't really do that, but I do know the National Hockey League is very conscious and have stated on a couple of different occasions that the integrity of next season, it needs to be an 82-game schedule. It needs to include a more traditional timeline. So that to me means that you're looking at a next season starting. I think that there's some wiggle room with it because if you take out an all-star break or if you take out a bye week, then it gives you a couple weeks back. But I still think you're looking at the latest you want to start next season as to being late October or early November, which means that that you really have to get going on a National Hockey League season middle of the summer. But as far as dates are concerned, I haven't looked at it that close. Mm-hmm. The playoff format's keeping me far too occupied with that, yeah. And the fitness challenge, icing down the arms and the shoulders.
Darren Millard, host of course, Vegas Golden Knights broadcast. Darren, we appreciate some time. Get back to working out, and we will talk to you very soon.
You know what I mean? Who moved? Who just moved? One of you was talking about putting the desk together.
That would be me. I'm the one who just moved.
Okay. We just moved in the last week as well, and the thing I'm doing tonight is putting a desk together. So I heard you about the cups and keeping all the screws together. I was impressed that you knew the diameter, because I just go by the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 on the instructions and keep them ordered by that. But that's what I'm up to tonight.
I wish you the very best of luck, sir. Just remember, deep breaths and walk away when it's getting bad.
I'm already doing that with the homework with the kids, trying to homeschool them. So I've been prepared for that. So thanks for the tip.
Thanks, Darren. Appreciate it, man. Stay healthy.
Be good, guys.
Yep. Darren Millard again, host over on the Vegas Golden Knights broadcast. That's good. He also freaked me out. Ari and I looked at each other because I literally had moved in my seat when he said, "Who moved?" And I was like, wait, is he watching us? What happened? It's good. It's a listener.
Oh, my God.
Kind of freaked me out.
Are you sure he didn't know?
I think I'm pretty sure he didn't know. John Murray, director of the Westgate Superbook, is going to join us in just a couple of minutes. When we come back, we have some updates for Vegas, not only just the NBA. But isn't there some sort of festival? There's some sort of electronic music festival that happens out in the desert, I think, and maybe we'll have an update on what's going on with that.
The crew over at Findlay Toyota speak Spanish, Thai, and even Persian. In fact, they speak 14 different languages. Come in and talk the universal language of big savings today.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you ordered some wipers online with our free same-day store pickup? No problem. We'll grab those for you so you can get back on the road. You know, we also offer free next-day delivery. You just order what you need on AutoZone.com by 10 p.m., and we deliver it to your front door the next day. It's perfect for those projects that can wait until tomorrow. Getting your job done just got easier. Free next-day delivery on eligible items on orders over $35. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full-court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best 4G LTE networks, same as the big carriers, but just for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Hi, I'm attorney Paul Pata. If you've been injured in an accident, my team at Paul Pata Law can help. Remember, it's not about the injury.
It's about the recovery.
PaulPataLaw.com. Call 702-602-7878.
Insperity. For employer benefits and full-service HR support, visit Insperity.com.
We know that right now, distance is important. Distance keeps us safe. And we understand. Because your health and safety are the most important things. The only things. So right now, distance is love. A message from your friends in Las Vegas.
Free yourself to run your company. It needs you. I'm Bill Rosato, president of ManagePay. From human capital management, including time and attendance, to managing the life cycle of employees, we have you covered. All in one database technology. Find us at managedpay.com.
It's Cofield and Company.
Double thanks for the grub. Where are you guys headed?
For some peace and quiet, we hope. We just finished some games around Boston, and we're bushed.
Not to mention tired.
Like, hey, I've got a great idea. We're on our way to visit my Uncle Nathaniel. Why don't you come along with us?
Good episode of Scooby-Doo. I'm very ageist at times. Even though I'm about to turn 30 this year, so got to stop being ageist.
How are you going to deal with that?
That was an episode, of course, of Scooby-Doo with the Harlem Globetrotters, the passing of Curly Neal, the globetrotting legend, ball handler, passes away at the age of 77. That's actually a memorable episode. I'm a fan of old-time Scooby-Doo.
I'm a fan of old-time Scooby-Doo. I'm a fan of the Globetrotters largely because I played high school basketball with one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. The Scooter, Shane Christensen.
You know,
class of 97 at Bishop Gorman High School.
Oh, you went to Gorman?
There you go. Snotty Gorman kid, just like all the rest. You know me.
Hey, class of 09, bro.
Respect.
That's right.
Didn't know that that's the way that Cofield was putting us together, but apparently that's it.
Look at that.
Yeah, but yeah.
Never been back on campus since.
Hey, you can't really go back. Dude, did you go to the new campus? Were you on the new campus?
2 years on the old one, 2 years on the new one.
Have you been by the old one?
I've driven, but there's a park right next to it that my son loves, so okay. I have driven by it. Yeah,
raised. It's gone. Insane. Nothing. Yeah. It's dirt. It's unbelievable to see.
It's ridiculous.
Such as it is, man. I miss it. I miss it. Don't get me wrong. Like I miss those days, but yeah.
What am I watching? I'm sorry. I'm distracted by this commercial. It's really coming me
This is some sort of commercial on whatever we were watching. Oh, okay. Wait a second. That just involved batteries.
I'm sorry. Did I say pray now?
It involved Interstate batteries. Shout out. And prayer. Okay. All right.
Interesting.
Sure.
Commercials are getting wacky, man. I have no idea how to pronounce this guy's name, but we have an update on EDC, the Insomniac founder, CEO. Do I go with this? Pasquale Rotella? Rotella?
I'm going to go with Rotella. I liked your first one.
Okay. Yeah. Usually when I see two L's together, I go with like the Teya kind of deal. But yeah. So CEO and, of course, Insomniac founder. Released a statement about the future of EDC. Headliner update. Very important, obviously, for us out here. EDC, a yearly event, which draws quite a bit of tourism and drugs and young people.
What?
And scantily clad youngsters. See, I'm old now, so I got to call them youngsters. I've never been to EDC. I've also never wanted to go to EDC. Never been a electric music kind of guy. But the Electric Daisy Carnival... This quote, we're living through crazy times right now. Feel blessed to be able to continue working on what I love. Thank you for all your support and patience. Blah, blah, blah. A lot of people worried about their health. That's not the blah, blah, blah part. This was the part I found interesting. We're taking things day by day, still working toward May, but keeping our options open. Some people can only see worst-case scenarios. And here in Insomniac, we plan for that. But it's equally important to keep the faith, stay strong, and be flexible. Despite what other festivals are doing, and despite some people pressing us to postpone the show right now, we don't want to make a premature decision on moving the EDC date, or worse, picking the wrong postponement date. With all the changes currently happening, we need some time to pass so that we can have clarity and make the best decision for EDC and all of you so we can make money. I added that part.
People are pressing them. People are those people doctors? I'm assuming that's who he's referring to, that... are pressing them. Look, man, you don't want to announce...
saying that this could last 12 to 18 months and that this whole, like, I'm going to go out on a limb and say EDC is more than 10 people.
You can add four zeros, five zeros to the back of that. It's 100,000 people over 3 days. As you mentioned, there are various illegal substances.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Am I wrong to take this statement as somewhat selfish on their part?
I'll tell you what. I don't mind putting out a statement that says we're still thinking about it, right? But the selfish part to me is the defiance. They'd be like, well, people are saying we should do this. And, people only see worst case scenarios.
And despite other festivals and their actions. Yeah,
bro,
that's the tone that gets me.
Worst case scenarios? Bro, let me say bro one more time because I have to. It's a young thing. We all see worst case scenarios. We're living it. We're all living the worst case scenario. And putting 100,000 people together in one place seems like a pretty solid recipe for that second wave of the coronavirus that we were talking about.
Right. Like our governor's come out, of course, and said no groups more than 10, all of that stuff. And it just feels like the tone of bringing up the other festivals, all of that, it seems a little icky to me. When I read that statement, and you try to dress it up as keep the faith, you know, keep fighting. But in the middle, I read between the lines, and maybe I'm doing it unfairly, right? Maybe somebody's listening right now and is saying you're being ridiculous and overreacting. I just read that and I immediately felt kind of gross. And I was like, come on, man, you can postpone it. There'll be another year. I wonder, because I know that executive orders sometimes when it comes to counties and whatnot, sometimes don't have strength. Look at what's happening at Gulfstream Park. Where Gulfstream Park is like flying in the face of Broward County's executive order and they're staying open, then maybe you can just put this together and there's no real legal issue with it. That's a question for Justin Watkins. But I just feel like if you're reading the room and you're looking at what's going on here, if you're them, you should probably just come out and say, yeah, we'll postpone it.
And I understand if you don't want to say that there's a new date, right? You don't want to try to pick a new date for a 100,000 person festival. Yeah, we all get it. But right now, who's on that side of saying you're overreacting? Like right in this moment. Think about the things we're doing right now. We are making sure that all of us in this studio, in this tiny little studio, are all 6 feet apart. There's hand sanitizer all over the place. We're taking every precaution we can with three people in the room. Who are the people on the other side saying, you know what, man? I'm so glad that Pasquale put that statement out. That's right. We are still going to rave.
There's a lot of people. There's some prominent Twitter accounts, maybe based on the city of Las Vegas, with quotes like, except that people die, and things like that. But, hey.
Boy, almost time for a break there, John, isn't it?
I think it is. We'll take our break here. When we return, John Murray, director of the Westgate Superbook, is going to join us.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling.
I'm going to kill your bookmaker. I'm going to rip his throat out. I will step on his throat until the man chokes. Let me tell you how. Winners, 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 winners. Free, 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 free.
I love it. Yep. Steve Cofield's out. I'm John Von Zoll. Adam Candy along as well. And the man, the myth, the legend, John Murray, director of the Westgate Superbook. Haven't talked to him for a while. What's up, John? What you been up to?
What's going on, guys? I'm just sitting here at work. Not exactly what I thought this day would be like. I mean, we're supposed to be watching the Sweet 16 right now, guys.
Yeah, it's very sad. Opening day was supposed to be here as well. Very upsetting. What is, I'm just curious, I'm sure you've been asked this already, what is a day like now in the life of John Murray as a director of a Superbook when there are no sports going on?
Well, there's still a lot of work to do, but it's not, look, it's not what we want to be doing. Right. You know, it's just, we're moving forward. We're working on the stuff that we're going to have up for betting as soon as we can reopen this place, man. And I just hope that day comes sooner rather than later. I think what we really need, we need one of the major leagues to take the lead and say we're coming back.
All right.
And I think when that happens, they're all going to follow. Just the, I mean, that's how this all started, right? The NBA suspended play. And then within, what, 24 hours, 48 hours, everybody else was suspended too?
Yep. Well, it sounds like, at least like with the NBA, John, they're trying to be the first to formulate some sort of plan. I don't know if you saw the CNBC report that they were talking about Vegas as a neutral site and possibly doing something around the like a 28-team sort of tournament that would culminate in the NBA Finals that would be played out here. And it'd be at the Thomas and Mack and the Cox Pavilion. But it sounds like the NBA is trying to do something, at least in terms of putting a framework out there for a possible return.
Why would they need to go as deep as 28, Johnny? I mean, like, we can't narrow that down a little bit to maybe like four from each conference. I mean, even that seems like a lot. I mean, there's only realistically, there's only three teams that can win the championship, two LA teams and Milwaukee.
Right.
Why don't we just do the Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals, and get it over with.
I think a lot of that has to do with TV money, right? And like making up some games for, you know, national TV and Turner and things like that. So yeah, we'd be forced to watch like a one-off playoff game between the Cavaliers and the Hawks.
Don't act like you wouldn't enjoy it. You wouldn't be forced to do anything. You'd be loving it. Hey, I'd watch anything right now. You know, if there was any kind of live sporting event, I think the handle numbers, the TV ratings would be through the roof. I mean, how many of these classic games or classic fights can we really be expected to sit through?
Right.
I can't get into it. Like, I know that I appreciate the networks are showing these old boxing fights, these old college basketball games, but I don't know how people watch stuff when they know the outcome.
What about simulated Madden and NBA 2K matches? You're not in on this?
I can't do it. I can't. I mean, I see people tweeting about like simulated Madden games, and they got betting lines on it, and I appreciate it. But I just can't get involved, man. I need the real deal.
I saw one where, and I feel like we do this all the time with quarterbacks, and we blame them for everything, and they're doing it in the Madden game. Like, I saw a clip of Kirk Cousins, like, play action on the one-yard line. They're like, classic Kirk Cousins. I'm like, that's an awful play call. You can't
simulated,
do that.
Simulated Kirk Cousins can't win the big one. You know, maybe simulated Kirk Cousins doesn't want it enough, John.
That's true.
Potential explanation there.
Well, I'm curious. So you mentioned giving us something like action-wise.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're pushing forward here with the NFL draft. And even Goodell comes out and says, hey, look, guys, don't say anything or else I'm going to discipline you, essentially telling GM, shut the hell up. We're moving forward. Are you guys planning on doing anything with that? I know you're closed right now, because I would think the handle on something like the NFL draft would be massive given the current situation of the world.
I mean, we'd love to have that opportunity. You know, we would need to be open before the draft, but right. Of course, absolutely. If we're open before the draft, we would absolutely have a whole, you know, a whole slew of draft props, and I think you're definitely correct. People are going to jump in to bet that stuff because, again, it's finally something that's a live event, and it's not a soccer league in a country that most people haven't heard of. I mean, it's a real live event in a sport that many people in this country care about, and absolutely, the draft props would be big handle. We'd love to have that opportunity is about all I can say.
You know, John, I know that there are some books that chose to try to keep the app going with exactly the stuff that you're talking about, like these way off the wall markets in other countries. Like, to try to figure out how to book something like that, where would you even start?
Well, you're talking about the like Belarus soccer and stuff.
Exactly.
I don't know what they're doing. I mean, there's a market for it. I would imagine that they're looking at that market, and they're probably getting pretty close to those numbers. And then if they had a sharp bet, I mean, that sounds silly. I guess they'd try to book the need that side. I don't know that there's too many sharp players out there, at least in this country, on sports like that. But, you know, we were doing it there for a time. Our guys, I thought, did a really good job of putting up – I think they did Australian soccer. The Mexican soccer was very popular.
Right.
We wrote a lot of money on that. I mean, our guys were, before we were closed, our guys were, in my opinion, really doing a great job of seeking things out to take bets on and writing some money. But that seems like a long time ago. That was only about 2 weeks ago. And almost all the things we were booking then have been shut down now as well. So there's just not a whole lot of reason for us to be open right now, even if we could be.
No, I mean, completely understandable. And I'm curious, John, what are you hearing from your bigger players? What are you hearing from your regular guys right now? How are they occupying themselves, and what are they potentially, you know, staying involved with?
I don't know I don't really want to know what those guys are doing to occupy their time. I mean, I see everybody posting about these ridiculous TV shows. I tried to watch some of them the other night. It was terrible. I don't know what people are doing to occupy their time. I mean, I'm bouncing off the walls if I have to be home for one day. I don't know. I guess people are probably working on their power rating numbers for hopefully a football season that we'll have in full, and just trying to stay healthy and, I don't know, look for something good to watch on Netflix. Everybody's talking about this Tiger King.
Oh.
I got to tell you guys, I've only watched 2 episodes, and so far I don't get it. I think people are overhyping it because there's nothing else to do and they're stuck at home.
I would be I'm in complete agreement. So obviously, like, Adam and Steve here on COVID and Company have been like over the moon with it.
Yeah.
To the point where I'm like, I have to sit down and watch this. Like, what the hell's going on? And right. To be frank too, you know, I don't know if you know this, John, there was actually a podcast done a while back about the guy, and I had listened to that. So I knew the story, and so I wanted to check it. I'm with you. Like, it's like, I guess it's somewhat interesting. There's a lot of missing teeth and a lot of meth. And maybe a lady fed her husband to the tigers, but like, I'm watching it and I really don't understand how you can tweet about this like 24/7, which it seems to have taken over my entire social media feed.
Well, you know, I talked to Jeff Sherman's wife this morning, the lovely Christy Sherman. Yeah. I told her this, and she told me, she assured me, guys, that episode 3 is where it really starts to escalate and the show gets good. So I'll give episode 3 a shot tonight, but so far very disappointed in the new offerings. And I got to tell you guys, I'm just pivoting back. I've been watching season 2 of The Sopranos for the 8,000th time when I'm not at work. So I don't know, this new stuff that's out there on Netflix, to me, very disappointing so far. And I, you know, I expect more of a TV recommendation from a guy like an Adam Hill, somebody that I hold in such high esteem like that. I expect better out of him.
I don't want to ruin it because I know you're going to watch it. Episode 3 doesn't get better.
It doesn't get better. So Christy lied to me. Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So what? I mean, what are you guys, John? What are you and Adam? What are you and Adam Candy watching? I mean, give me something here. You know, I mean, there's nothing to watch. I can't. How many times can I watch The Sopranos and The Wire? I guess I could watch Mad Men for the 50th time. But I mean, I don't know what to do.
So I've fallen in the same hole as you, except it's not those shows. I'm just rewatching The Office again.
Oh, The Office is great. The Office is great. No, you know, we like usually when we're working on, or I don't know what the other guys do, but when I'm working on numbers, I usually have something on TV in the background anyway. So, you know, when we're home and we're maybe taking a look ahead to the NFL, I want to have something on in the background. But this Tiger thing, it's not doing it for me, guys. I got to tell you, I'm very disappointed.
Completely agreed. I have no idea what to do with it, and I think I'm going to stop watching, to be honest with you. I can't do it anymore.
What else are you going to do? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I feel like if this show had come out when we weren't all confined to our homes,
right,
that people wouldn't even know that it existed. But there's just not a whole lot else to do when you're quarantined here, you know.
So here's my question for you. Mm-hmm. I need to watch something new.
Okay.
I have The Wire. Mm. I have Curb Your Enthusiasm. And I have The Sopranos as my choices for what I want to start. I'm only going to start one and get into it.
I'm so jealous that you have all three of those. I've watched every episode of all three of those
right.
shows.
I have not watched a single episode of any of them. So where do I go?
Are you looking for something a little light? Or are you just trying to – the best – I mean, I think The Wire is the best of those three. Curb Your Enthusiasm, the early seasons are so funny, though. I didn't really think the last season of Curb was that good, personally.
Okay.
But the early seasons are so good. You could never go wrong with The Sopranos, though. Okay. I think no matter what you do, you're going to be in very good shape. But Adam, what do you think? I mean, which one of those three do you think is the best?
I have to say, the only one that I've seen all the way start to finish is Sopranos. And Wire is actually at the top of my need-to-watch list. So maybe John and I need to to do this and compare notes. Same on The Wire.
Just do it from a very far distance. You know, you compare notes over the phone, for sure. But, yeah, I mean, The Wire's awesome. Season 4 of The Wire, I think, is my favorite season of any TV show ever. So, it's all very good. It's all very good.
All right, I'm in. And if I don't like it, then you'll hear from me, John Murray.
No, that's fine. What else am I doing? Go ahead. talk all the smack you want, man. Doesn't bother me at all, guys.
All right, John. Hey, we appreciate it, man. It was good to hear from you. Stay safe, okay?
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. At Vegas Murray up on Twitter. Of course, director of the Westgate Superbook. I think something behind me is going to explode.
It was only a matter of time.
What's going on here, Ari?
I sent an email a few weeks ago about this issue.
Well, we have an excuse as to
sure, but what is the issue? Nothing's
now there's a legitimate excuse as to why that email is not going to be responded to, right?
I'm just saying, we're good.
Did one of us get within 6 feet of each other? Is that the alarm that goes off?
Earlier, for the... My face accidentally touched the microphone in front of me. We were going to break earlier. I almost freaked out. Ripped my face off. Almost like I did with the guy who was breathing down my neck trying to buy Marlboro Lights yesterday. I can't do it. 5 o'clock hour on the way.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.